Hello, everyone. Welcome to UGA Sports Rumors versus Facts. I am Blaine Gilmer here with Trent Smallwood and Jed May. Once again, we talk all things Georgia football recruiting live. We also have Jed jinxing perfect games right here as they go on, which I won't take it even further, but if you're watching a certain Atlanta-based team right now, if he doesn't get a perfect game, it's Jed's fault, okay? It's Jed's fault. Just like the rankings are Jed's fault, it's his fault. Trent, Jed, how you doing this evening?
Good for now. I'll be celebrating a perfect game in about an hour or so. But good until then.
And what's this pitch count at, Jed?
55, according to Twitter.
Not bad.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So on to the more important stuff. No, that's not us.
Yeah, on to the more important stuff. We have none other than 5-star wide receiver, class of 2024, prospect Ryan Wingo join us. Ryan, welcome to UGA Sports Rumors versus Facts, man. We appreciate you coming on.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no doubt. So we're going to get right to it here. Let me get the screen set. Ryan, your recruitment, I mean, obviously you've been a top talent for a long time now, but your recruitment really went to another level in January, end of January. Georgia offers, then Alabama after that, some more schools. So what do you attribute that to, and what's it been like going throughout this process this spring?
Yeah, like you said, it kind of picked up a whole bunch in January. The process, I kind of take it slow because I really want to find the best school for me, that best fits me. But like you said, it kind of picked up a lot this January. And it's kind of fun, though. You got to get a whole bunch of schools you get to talk to and stuff like that. So it's pretty fun.
Grant, what you got?
Yeah, Georgia's kind of going from a running school to more of a, passing the rock around, with Coach McClendon over there. What is McClendon telling you, and what's your relationship like with him?
I'll start my relationship with him. BMAC, that's my dude. He's a real person, like a good person in person. Like when I went up there, when we was together, we went out over like film and stuff like that, and like you said, they slinging the ball around a lot more. So they was like kind of showing me that when I was up there, and how like they was like number two or something like that in the country for like slinging the ball last year, but like you only see them as like a running school and stuff like that. So I think them throwing the ball, it affects decisions a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan, I know you took this unofficial to Georgia in March, not too long after they offered. Just, I guess, take us through that weekend, what all you did, and everything that basically, once you left that weekend, you were like, hey, I need to get back here for an official visit. Just take us through that unofficial visit weekend.
It started with, I think I took a tour around the campus. Went through that. And then I went to a practice, I think. Went to a practice. Like I said, the practice was intense. It was a lot of hard work that was being done there. It was really just, like I said, just an intense practice. The receivers and the DBs getting after it. Coach Smart was on the microphone, making jokes with the players, stuff like that. So just to see that they still have fun, but they also back-to-back champions, it sparked me to want to get back up there.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you've talked about the offense changes a little bit. You've talked about getting back up there, and you talked a little bit about Coach Smart, but I want to hear about Mike Bobo as the offensive coordinator a little bit. I heard, through some talks here that the Wingos and Mike Bobo hit it off a little bit. Tell me what you like about Coach Bobo and what it was like meeting him, and, kind of the coordinator change happened right as Georgia was showing interest in you.
So yeah, my dad, he really hit it off with Coach Bobo when we was up. He was at Georgia. Like I said, he also another great dude, and I think they just real good with like players and recruits and stuff like that. And then obviously with that change, they obviously gonna sling the ball around a lot more. So I think that's perfect.
Kirby being a defensive guy, you know, how is that? We always ask receivers and quarterbacks and running back, everybody on the offensive side of the ball. Okay, you got a defensive guy over there as head coach, but what's his message to you about why he wants Ryan Wingo to be in Athens when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you're going to have those defensive head coaches. I mean, you really just got to go, I guess, for, like, your fit. And obviously that receiver coach that's there, you want to have a great receiver coach that's going to be able to develop you to get to that next level. And I think Coach Smart, like, his message to me was, you know, we really didn't talk about a lot of football when I was up there. We more were just kind of, like, creating a bond and, like, kind of connecting a lot. So I really can't answer that fully how I would be able to probably in a few months.
Absolutely. Trent, what you got?
Yeah, I guess we're going to, you know, you got Dylan Raiola, you kind of have that relationship with him. Have that relationship form. Where did it start? And you know, how's it, how often do y'all talk?
It started, probably a year ago, I think. We hit each other up through DMs. Ever since then, we kind of hit it off. We've been talking a good amount, and then we seen each other in Georgia, and then we was with each other the next week at Nebraska. So we've been kind of keeping in touch a lot.
Ed, what'd you get?
Yeah, you said when you were there, you and Kirby didn't talk too much about football. It was more just building a bond. I mean, for you, what did those conversations sound like with Kirby? Like, you talk with different guys, and they say Kirby talks about, you know, family, or, you know, Sammy Brown, it says him and Kirby talk about fishing and hunting. Like, what did you and Kirby talk about when you were down there to start forming that bond up?
Yeah, so I want to get into real estate. So we talked about that. You say he kind of knew the big realtors in Atlanta and the surrounding cities and stuff like that. So we kind of got in depth about that, because he's kind of asking what I want to do after football, because obviously, you know, football comes to an end. So he was asking me what I wanted to do after football, and I kind of we went into detail about that. And he also, like I said, he said he knew some people. So,
well, I have to get you talking to my other co-host, Noshawn Marino. He's in a little bit of real estate now and then, every now and then. But Ryan, I wanted to ask you, you know, now it's changed to where you guys get unlimited official visits. But how has that impacted how you're going to go about things? You still going to narrow it down? Because, I mean, there's still a lot of trips to take, even if they're getting paid for. Are you still going to narrow it down to just a few? We know you have Georgia coming up at first weekend in June. And, you know, so are you going to narrow down the list? Are you going to expand? And then what are you looking forward to in that June official?
All right, I'll start. I probably won't narrow it down until a little later. I think I'll do that after I take my officials, you know, kind of just get a sense of everybody. And then what I think I'm looking forward to on the official, really just to kind of get back up there. Like I said, you know, they kind of offered me kind of late in the process. So just to get back up there, you know, talk to Coach Smart again, get with Coach B-Mac, have some more meetings with him, kind of just talking about, so I could be able to answer that question, like what they see me doing, like in their offense, and like kind of the future that they see for me. So I think when I go up there in June, hopefully I get those questions answered.
Trent,
any other prospects? I know. I mean, Raul is the number one player in the country, number one quarterback. Any other prospects that you would like to play with at the next level, or you talk to and communicated with a good bit?
Any other prospects I like to play with? Probably. For sure, I guess we just say from the offensive side, probably Boo Carter for sure at running back. Another receiver, probably Aaron Butler, AB, and probably Jeremiah Smith for sure.
Gotcha. Well, that's a lot of talent. There's only so much room. It's only one ball, Ryan. You're trying to spread that thing pretty thin now. Jed, what you got for Ryan here?
Yeah, Ryan, you were telling us before we started that you're running track. Just kind of take everybody through what events you're running, what times you're looking at, and then also maybe how that helps in a football career.
Yeah, so this year I'm running the 100, 200, and I'll probably do some relays. my fastest time in the 100 this year, 10.50, and then my fastest 200 time, like 21.67, I think. And then I think it really helped with football because you kind of just be able to have that extra speed while running, because that conditioning during practice and track, it gets you. So like being able to have that extra push at the end of football games when it's like clutch time, I think that's probably what helped with the most from my perspective.
Absolutely. We've got people on here tuned in. Bobby, Andy, Jeremy, all in here talking about asking questions about Ryan. Ryan, they want to know what the official measurements are, man. What did you measure? Height, weight, everything when you went to Georgia on your unofficial. Do you remember?
I don't think. I honestly don't know. I know my measurements. I think I'm 6'2", 205.
6'2", 205. Have you ever done the hand measurement before? Yeah. Have you ever done that?
It's 9 3/4, I think. Yeah, 3/4. I remembered it, so I'm good at that.
There you go. Trent, anything else for Ryan that you got?
Well, we've talked about the Georgia official. You know, what other schools have locked in an official, in case everybody don't know? And is there any extra official, you know, that you take unlimited official? Any other schools you're looking at?
So I got 3 set up. I'm going to Georgia the first week. Then the 23rd to 25th, I think. I'm going to Mizzou. And then I'm going to Tennessee during the season. But I don't have my other official set up because I kind of I've been focusing on track and kind of just been taking my mind off like kind of recruiting side for a little second. But obviously, I'll for sure have the rest of my dates out in upcoming weeks.
Coach McClendon's really trying to change that wide receiver room. You see the amount of speed that he brought in the last class. Anthony Evans, a guy who's a 10.2 in the 100 meter, can fly. Tyler Williams, for a big guy, he's run, 6'3", 6'4". He runs well. Yazid Haynes had a 4.3 40. And, of course, now you at, 6'2", 205, running a 10.5 and being able to stretch the field. What has McClendon's message been to you about, hey, this is what I like about your game. This is why we want you to be a dog.
I was, like you said, that speed. I'm a bigger guy. So being able to have that speed to be able to kind of compete with those like faster, skinnier dudes. Obviously, AE, he run a 10.2, so we can get to that point yet. But like I said, just be able to run that fast and be able to stretch the field. I think that's probably the biggest thing he kind of put into me. So,
all right, we want to end up just these aren't things you got to think about. This is just whatever comes to mind. A little rapid fire, let people get to know you a little bit, Ryan. What's your favorite movie?
Favorite movie. Friday, all the Fridays.
That is not a bad answer. Favorite food?
Oh, chicken wings for sure.
Music?
Rap.
Well, I mean, who's favorite artist?
Favorite artist? I'll say like Chief Keef. I don't know. That's a great artist.
All right. You said you're a Madden enthusiast. You said that if it comes down to it, you got to play a Madden game for some money. You're down there, an important one. Who you playing with, and what's kind of the style as a Madden player?
Oh, I'm playing with the Lions. I'm going spread offense, and then out with defense, I'm gonna go multiple D and run man the whole game.
There you go, being aggressive, Kirby, Kirby Smart would like that. He'd like that man to man. He'd like that aggressiveness right there. So Ryan, we appreciate you coming on. We would love to have you back on after your official coming up. Maybe we'll get you back on after that first weekend in June. Remember, everybody, if it so happens that Ryan ends up in Athens and you're a real estate person, hey, there's a young man's interested in real estate, so you can hit him up right there. But Ryan, we appreciate you coming on, man, on Rumors versus Facts, and we'd love to have you on again.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. That was Ryan Wingo, 5-star wide receiver. So, guys, as we always do, let's kind of break down the interview there. What'd you take away from that?
Go ahead, Trent.
Just He talked about that he's not in a rush. He's playing. He's being patient in the process. You know, he doesn't really have that. What the one thing that really stood out was he's got the Georgia official and he's got the Missouri official, and that's the only ones he's got this summer locked up. So everything else is concentrating around track and football, and then he'll hit the other ones when he can. But you know, you have to kind of like where Georgia stands having that official this early.
Absolutely, Jed.
Yeah, I mean, kind of to build off what Trent said, it's once again, it's that same strategy Georgia used last year, getting all these big names in that first weekend. And you look at it, it's Raiola, it's Aaron Butler, who is still at least scheduled to visit that weekend. And Daniel Calhoun, Peyton Woodyard is another guy who will be in town. So it's that same strategy. We'll see how it works. I think it's interesting that the family has hit it off so well with Mike Bobo, because like you mentioned during the interview, Blaine, Bobo took over kind of right when the Wingo stuff, when the offer and everything kind of was coming about. So the fact that he hit the ground running with that relationship, especially, and has done enough along with Brian McClendon to get Georgia in the spot it's in is pretty impressive stuff by Mike Bobo for sure.
I think him being there on the same weekend, we talked about the amount of talent that's going to be there on that first weekend. And by the way, it came out, you know, a couple of weeks ago, he announced his official visit. This thing's been wrapped up, this official visit, ready to go basically just a week or so after his unofficial to Athens. It's been kind of set, and he's going to be there at the same time as Dylan Raiola. He's going to be there the same time as Jarrett Gibson, who Georgia is, you know, listen, they're going to have to battle Texas for, but they're very intently pursuing him. And of course there's other defensive prospects that are going to be there as well. Peyton Woodyard, who's a commit. So he's going to have guys there that are already committed. He's going to have guys there that are other high priority targets. And you would have to think that the Georgia staff is looking forward to that opportunity to have Raiola and Wingo on campus at the same time and kind of sell them on that vision of being a combination together for the future.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremiah Smith will be there too, and it's the same – that's the same kind of vision. You know, you sell these guys on, like you said, Blaine, playing together, and it's the same thing, you know, on the defensive side of the ball. When you've got names like Justin Scott, Dylan Stewart, you know, Justin Green, is going to be in town that weekend. It's the same thing. Y'all come on this one side of the ball and just dominate. So it's obviously going to be on – that a similar pitch on the offensive side of the ball as well. So it's that first weekend. I know we've said it a million times, but it's going to be as star-studded as last year was. I think this year might have more. Like, there was so much hype around the first weekend last year because it was the Arch Manning official visit. I think this first weekend in June might be even more star-studded just with how many guys are all coming into town.
Who would have thought? Not Trent, I know you got some, but I want to just popped into my mind. Who would have thought last year, when that first weekend came around, the biggest visitor of that weekend might end up being, when all said and done, an unofficial, three-day unofficial of Damon Wilson, who was there that weekend. So that's something that Georgia has mastered too, the unofficial official visit. Okay, so keep those in mind as well. Trent, what you got?
Yeah, I mean, especially if you can get these out-of-state guys in on unofficial visits, you know, especially for a big weekend, and you know, treat them like they're on official, but not pay for everything. That's big, and just continuing to get the out-of-state prospects on campus. You know, it's worked in the past. Like you said, Damon Wilson. You know, they didn't land all the guys from that big official visit last year, the first weekend, but they did make an impact on a bunch of guys, and that's the key. And I think bringing this group in could be a little different this go around. You got several guys kind of trending towards Georgia, and being able to get in front of that staff, get the parents in front of that staff the first weekend official visits. It's a big thing, and we'll see how it works out this year. Didn't go as great last year, but I have a feeling things might trend a little differently this year.
Was Raylan Wilson there that first weekend last year? I think he was one of the visitors there. I'm not sure. Troy Troy Bowles, listen, Troy Bowles 2 years ago, as a junior, was there during the official visit weekend. He was there on unofficial. So, like I said, those subtle ones, those ones that, don't get a lot of the fanfare going into it, oftentimes end up being some of the, bigger ones, Jed. But we do have to touch on, there's lots of reports and, news that, we've – you know, put out there over this past weekend. We'd put a lot of stories out this morning. Jed, I know you talked to some guys who visited over the weekend. And, of course, we saw some other official visits that have been set up as well in the class of 2024. Kind of give people a little rundown of some of the stuff that we've put out here on UGA Sports over the last few days here, Jed.
Yeah, well, you you know, spoke with Nate Frazier from Modern Day, who visited over the weekend. He'll be back for an official, and he's one of those guys in that kind of pool of probably four or five guys that George is looking at for that second running back spot. And Christian Clark is going to be back for an official. I think that's the last, June 23rd through 25th. Taylor Tatum, George is under consideration for an official from. And then Blaine, is as we look at these tight ends, Colton Heinrich is going to be in Athens for an official in, I think, about a month from now in May. Jake Riddell will be in Athens for an official. And he's another guy, as we kind of connect all the Dylan Raiola webs, he's another guy that has a close relationship with Dylan Raiola. So, it's I think visits over the, weekend were a little slower. There was a lot of spring games going on. Alabama, obviously Colorado had theirs. But I think now it's
and then of, had a mass exodus. I couldn't help but say that, but like so many players hitting the portal. But yeah, it's not to interrupt there.
I think it's now we're kind of getting in that mode of okay, spring visits are done, guys are evaluating things. Like we were just talking with Ryan, figuring out who's gonna get these officials and when they're gonna be, all that kind of stuff, and then we'll go from there. But Georgia, it's well, you know, I updated the recruiting cheat sheet today. There's a lot of movement just from guys being in Athens over the past month and a half or so. And now we kind of, that's what the title of the show was, official visits coming up fast. And now we're kind of looking towards the summer and, seeing what's coming there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I talked to Nate Frazier, like you mentioned, who is from California, 2024 running back. Another, that's a long way to go for unofficial, Trent, and shows that the interest. He visited Alabama about a week ago, and then now he's visited Georgia. Another guy who the recruitment has really picked up recently. He's drawn comparisons on the dog vent, at least, to our fellow show host here on UGA Sports, Knowshon Moreno, both about 5'11", 205 pounds coming out. And but Frazier may even have, and Knowshon's going to, you know, hurt me for saying this, he may even have a step on Knowshon in terms of the speed. Now he don't have the wiggle and maybe the hurdling ability, you know, because Knowshon, hey, that's iconic. But when it comes down to it, he's a guy that Dale McGee and Georgia faithful should be very excited about come saying he's going to come back for an official visit.
Yeah, just to draw some comparisons to Knowshon is pretty dang good, because you know, Knowshon's gone down as one of the best running backs at Georgia, and you know, Clark is definitely come on as of late. He was a late bloomer, they would say, especially playing at the high school he plays at. There's a lot of talent there. You have to wait in line to get on the field. So, you know, it's understandable he's getting noticed late in the process. But, yeah, he's definitely got the speed. He's definitely got the you know, it might not be Knowshon wiggle, but he's got some wiggle. You know, you're looking for that second back. I think Georgia is constantly evaluating that position. And Clark is one of the top guys on that board to
Frazier is one. Yeah.
Yeah. He, along with Frazier and maybe a couple others. But those are the top guys that George is looking at the moment to kind of fill in that second spot in the class.
Yeah. I mean, Jed, you know, we were told, of course, you know, Taylor Tatum, after his unofficial visit, he's the one that told us that Dale McGee said that Georgia wants to take three running backs in this class. So there's room for three, and that's counting commit, currently Georgia commit Dwight Phillips, who is just can absolutely fly. He's another 10-2 guy, but he's more of a do everything type of back. Kirby Smart has been telling these backs that are coming through, hey, we're looking for a guy who's, you know, 205, 210 pounds, but moves like a 190 pounder and is still able to kind of take the punishment of an SEC, you know, workload, even though Georgia does spread the ball out a little bit, Jed. And, you know, Tatum, Clark, Frazier, they all fit kind of that same body type, same mold. And then, of course, they're going after Jurek Gibson and then would love to flip Chauncey Bowens from Florida if they could. But it seems like that trio of Frazier, Clark, and Tatum are the kind of the ones that are most realistic at this point.
Yeah, I think those are the three that everyone should be focused on. Like you said, Gibson will be in Athens for that official visit weekend, that first weekend in June. He seems like he might be looking elsewhere. And then Chauncey Bowens, we say it all the time, he's committed till he's not. So till proven otherwise, it kind of you got to assume he sticks with Florida. And then there's always, like at positions every year, there's guys who will camp, earn an offer, you know, blow up their senior year, whatever. But there's obviously still a long way to go in this cycle, 8 months till early signing day. But right now, it looks like it's that trio kind of at the top, and then maybe not say lower on the board, but a little less likely as the Gibson and Bowens pair as far as guys that ended up in the class.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to try to get to. We got a lot of vault questions, guys. While you're in here, do us a favor, hit that like button. It helps out a whole lot. We're up well over the 36,000 subscriber mark, the biggest YouTube channel there is out there for UGA football, and that we appreciate. That's because of you guys and you consuming the content, and that is, you know, attracted to some of the biggest prospects out there, like Dylan Raiola, like Ryan Wingo. So they come and join the show on us. We've got, of course, every single week, got Noshawn and TK every Wednesday night, Jim Donnan on Tuesdays with Roddy and Dane. You got Paul, Jason, and Ben all going live on Sunday night. So you're not going to get any better content right here. So if you're not subscribed, go ahead and hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications, and hit the like. So do that for us. And now we're going to go ahead and get into these questions. Got some class of 2025 stuff, you know, kind of brewing right now, Jed, and actually two class worth of stuff at linebackers with Georgia and Alabama, you know, Jaden Perlotti and then also DeMarcus Riddick both being rumored to flip to Alabama. I believe you reached out to Perlotti recently. You know, what are you hearing on Jaden Perlotti and you know, what you're feeling about the commitment right now and moving forward?
Yeah, we saw Perlotti. He had that tweet yesterday afternoon. It said, "Go Dogs." He tagged, I think it was Kirby Smart and Glenn Schumann. So obviously publicly affirming his commitment, speaking with some sources, they continue to say that Perlotti is going to be a Bulldog. But listen, I just said it's 8 months till 2024 signing day. It's a year and 8 months.
Yeah,
until Jaden Perlotti signs the dotted line, and we knew that when he committed. That's a long time for guys to be committed. Someone eventually has to be the first guy in a class, but I mean, Perlotti's been committed for I don't remember when he committed, 6 months already, maybe. I mean, it's been a minute, so it's hard to hold on to guys that long, and especially at a school like Buford, where you know, Perlotti plays with so many quality teammates. When you think of KJ Bolden, Edric Houston, Justin Baker, a 25 running back, Devin Williams, a corner in Perlotti's class that just got offered by Georgia over the weekend. So you see your teammates enjoying the process. It's like, well, I need to keep my options open as well. So obviously Georgia did enough to earn his commitment in the first place. They're going to be a factor in this thing all the way through the end, whether he ends up flipping or decommitting or whatever or not. But at least right now he's you know, publicly affirming that he's still, you know, settled with the Bulldogs.
Trent, Donut Dog on the vault would be 100% sure that with Perlotti being a Buford commit that he's going to end up elsewhere. What do you think? What's your take on this?
Well, I mean, you know, when we initially talked back in the fall, we discussed Perlotti and you know, Georgia was kind of the school then. And then he committed, I think it was December. I can't quite remember the day, but he committed sometime around that time frame. And, you know, he's been a dog. Of course, he's taken visits. At the end of the day, I think his heart's with Georgia. You know, I think he's going to take visits. He's going to have, you know, being a Buford prospect, he's going to have people in shambles a lot. And that just comes with the territory of what high school he goes to and this day and age in recruiting. But he, I really think that, you know, he had a bunch of offers then and, you know, he chose Georgia. His heart was with Georgia at the time. And I think it's going to take a lot to get him to flip. I think at the end of the day, I think his heart's, you know, in Athens.
There you go, Donut Dog. You can tag Trent on the vault. If
he already had. Snore.
All right, Andy Stowe asks, any portal guys UGA is trying to get, anyone else going to portal out? And then a wrestling-related question, he said, also WWE tweeted a favorite title poll. What's yours, the favorite belt? Yeah, I got to go. If you're going WWE, I got to go with the Winged Eagle too. So that one's a pretty easy answer for me, Andy. I think that's a good one. Now, guys, portal-wise, I think Georgia – There's still a spot or two that people got to get out before they can bring anybody in. They're still trying to get down to 85, I believe, at this point, or they're right close at it at this point, Jed.
Yeah, I think you could see maybe an offensive lineman go. There's receivers that could go. But yeah, like you said, I think they hit what they wanted in the portal in that first wave, right? Bringing the two receivers, bringing in Smoke Bowie. I mean, you can't rule out bringing another guy in once the numbers really kind of, you know, settle themselves out a little bit more. But I think the focus, or not the focus, but I think what you're going to see going forward is more guys going out than guys coming in.
Trent, I wish the Braves could portal out Marcell Ozuna.
Trent, if there's an experience five technique that becomes available before the end of the month, do you think Georgia would kick the tires if they are at a spot where they're able to add someone?
Yeah, I think it all depends on if they're at a spot to add someone. I think they'd like to add, a five tech that has some experience. I think you're looking at Michael Williams and, you know, everybody else at that five tech. But I think Georgia as a staff, as a team, as a coaching staff, they would love to add a piece. I think it would have to be the right piece, the right fit. And, of course, the numbers would have to work. But I do think if Georgia goes to the portal, that could be one position that they do go after.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because, I mean, you've got some guys, you know, Tremel Walthor's been around, but, you know, I mean, and he's going to add some experience, and then Tyron Ingram Dawkins, he got some experience last year. But if there was an old head, as the kids say, that is hanging around, that is maybe even a guy who's played at a major level, whether it's a, you know, high level Big Ten or high level, you know, Big 12, something like that, that has a ability to transfer out, maybe they look at that. But I don't think there's any just dire needs right now. It's pretty deep.
Yeah, Georgia, the perfect team. Game's going.
Oh, that's Jed's fault. There we go. All right. Helfano says, have you ever encountered a situation where you knew behind the scenes a coach or school, he's talking about high school here, high school staff, interfered with a kid's decision? And then, heck, this could apply to tampering as well. There were certainly rumors of that in terms of the whole USC situation. You know, Bear Alexander, some accusations that they tried to do the same with Michael Williams, stuff like that. Guys, it is the Wild West out there, and I have zero doubts that there is tampering going on across the board in different ways. But it's as Roddy says all the time, how do you prove it?
There is definitely tampering going on. I mean, whether it's having contact with a player or having contact with a sibling or a parent or a guardian or whatever it is, there's definitely conversations going on behind the scenes. How you would prove that, I don't know. Whether anybody ever have the backbone to prove it, I don't know. But it's definitely happened.
And Jed, I was a high school coach for 9, almost 10 years. I know that they're just normal people, these high school coaches. So I'm sure that there's some bias on high school staffs as well when it comes to where some of their kids go and things like that. So I'm sure, listen, I'm not sure they're actively trying to subvert or sabotage people's recruitments at times, but I guarantee you there's a nudge maybe to go one way or another at certain high schools.
Yeah. And I think the tone of that question might have been, you know, okay, Coach A is a Georgia fan and he tries to steer his kid away from Florida. I think what it might be more is like when coaches have bad interactions with people, like coaches are always coming in and out on these school visits and whatever. If a coach comes in and acts like a jerk, that's not going to help said coach and team's case when these guys try to get to the age of picking that school. And you look at, you know, take Auburn, for example, in the late Brian Harsin era, you know, there were schools like Central in Phoenix City that Auburn didn't go see, and that's not far from Auburn, and it took the staff forever to get down there. So if you're a kid going to Phoenix or at Phoenix City looking to consider a school, and your coaches are like, hey man, I don't know why those guys aren't out here, that doesn't help. So I don't think it's, you know, fandom related. I just think it's when these high school coaches have experience with these college coaches that could, you know, color their perception of that coach and then by extension, the school they're at.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's one reason that the high school coaches, you know, they're out or the college coaches, they're out on the road. They're meeting these high school staffs and stuff like that, trying to cultivate these relationships. Right. And you see, you know, Georgia, I believe it was a couple of days, Jed, after they won just back-to-back national championships, they had 10 coaches hit 10 different spots in the state of Georgia. Just nuts. Like the way that they were going on the road and hitting things even after doing that. So it's all the time trying to cultivate those relationships. And that's a big deal, especially when you have former head coaches on your staff, because they really are kind of doing that. The ones, you know, shaking hands and kissing babies, so to speak, you know, guys like Muschamp that's been a head coach at, you know, Florida and South Carolina and been around in the SEC. So that footprint kind of grows as you got those guys. And of course, you know, Bobo's been at Auburn, South Carolina, things like that. So there's lots of kind of interweaving relationships there when it comes to all these guys. All right. What do we got here from Night Dog? All right, Trent, you're a good player comp guy. Player comparison for Ryan Wingo, please. He's about 6'2", 205, can really run, you know, but is physical at the same time. Who's a comparison for Ryan Wingo?
Man, put me on the spot with that one.
I was thinking of physical wide receivers, guys that have, you know, no problem making catches in traffic, but also made plays deep down the field. And a guy
like more physical, Chris Conley. I mean, trying to look back.
Maybe so. I'm talking about if you're talking about that kind of build, you know, 205, a guy that's got some thickness to him. I'm thinking of a Hines Ward type guy, especially the way he played with the Steelers. I mean, he was able to run, but he was more of a – I mean, he'd go up and catch the ball in traffic. He'd break tackles. He'd do all that kind of stuff. I think that kind of receiver, you know, comes to mind when you're thinking of Ryan Wingo. He's going to be a guy that, like I said, the speed is going to definitely be there, but that physicality is something that I think – you know, Georgia doesn't necessarily have a ton of in their wide receiver room right now. Maybe a guy like a Tyler Williams is going to bring that. You saw him catch the ball over middle and you know, kind of shrug off a defender and keep running. But I think that physicality is big there. So that's one just off the top of my head that that comes to mind. Bonus non-dog, I don't know. I'd have to think about it a little bit more as I compare here. And then have we heard anything on a potential move of Tennessee commit Jonathan Echols to Carrollton from IMG? You know, Jed, I know Carrollton's one of your favorite places of all time. You really enjoy when the Atlanta satellite camp goes to Carrollton. Have you heard anything on IMG prospect Jonathan Echols arriving over there?
I have not. I know that's a guy that's kind of been on Georgia like periphery, never really been involved there, but I hadn't heard anything. I know, you know, I'm sure just he would like to come back to his home state for his senior year maybe, but I haven't heard anything concrete, no.
I got you. All right. Let's see here. Who do we have? R Hall 55. Tolliver, as Malachi Tolliver, also on this show a few weeks ago, a Georgia commit, offensive lineman. He said Malachi Tolliver stated that the coaches informed him that UGA would be, or attempting to, take five offensive linemen. So he's asking here, Jed, is it Tolliver, Seton, Westfall, Calhoun, and Flynn? Are those the guys that you would, you know, put the money down if you had to say five right now?
I mean, I think the staff would be thrilled, definitely, with those first four. I just think it's still no one's really sure what the deal is with Walt Flynn. Like, he says the interest is picking up, and I believe him, but is it, you know, there's a difference between the interest picking up and he's a take now. So it's still – and he might not choose Georgia anyway. I know he's got an official locked into UCF. That's the only one he's got set. So, yeah, even if the interest picks up, he might not pick Georgia anyway. You know, you look at other guys, there's Jaquan McCroy out of Mississippi that Georgia's involved with. He's taking an official visit. You know, William Satterwhite is a guy I think that we need to keep an eye on from Ohio. He visited a couple weeks ago, earned an offer, and is now planning to get back probably for an official. So that's a guy. And he's kind of like Walt Flynn, more of a interior lineman kind of build and player. So he could be a guy. But yeah, definitely those first four. I mean, Tolliver, Seton, Westfall, Calhoun, the staff would sign up for those four right now. And then that fifth spot could be, you know, one of the guys just mentioned. It could be someone that camps over the summer. There's a guy, you know, Aiden Lynch is a guy who Georgia gave him his first Power Five offer, and he visited, and things are still kind of percolating there. So definitely those first four the staff would love. And then it could be Walt Flynn, it could be somebody else. But definitely this is, and listen, this is a class that, I don't know if it was Tolliver or somebody else, but they have said, this is a class that we need to hit on as far as offensive line goes in 2024. So when you look at those guys up at the top of that board, that would be a successful class getting those four and adding a fifth guy, go along with them.
Absolutely. Westfall, I think, is going to be announcing his top five on April 30th. And, he's a big, like you mentioned, you talked to him a couple times. Westfall is definitely a big target there. And Daniel Calhoun also going to be in town on that first weekend in June. So the talent is just immense there. I did think about it while you were talking about offensive line there. A guy that I would compare Ryan Wingo to a little bit in terms of the size, the physicality, the playmaking ability that is a non-dog – would be Keenan Allen. He's a guy that is a tough as nails, wide receiver, but also can make plays down the field. Keenan Allen would be a guy that I think you could look at for a comparison there. We already talked about Jaden Perlotti, but now Speedy Dog asked Trent, is DeMarcus Riddick sticking with UGA? Seem Saban is putting the full court press on him. Does this have anything to do with Sammy Brown's recruitment? Can we get both of them? So first things first there, DeMarcus Riddick, he's a guy from the state of Alabama. Does that make him harder to hold on to than, you know, Jaden Perlotti at this point?
I would say so. I mean, I always think that, you know, I got that, I don't know what you call it, Donnan-ism, but you think back, it's so hard to pull prospects out of Alabama to begin with. And, you know, when you do and you get them early, it makes it that much harder to hold on to them. You've seen it in the past.
Raquez McElderry last class.
Yep. So, I think he will be tougher to hold on to than Jade Perlotti. But Georgia has weathered the storm up to this point. But I think that storm's going to grow even larger over the summer when he visits Georgia and he visits Alabama and he continues to take visits to both of them. At the end of the day, I do think it'll be tough to hold on to him, but I'm not putting anything past Schumann and Smart to be able to do so because of their ties there.
Speaking of Glenn Schumann and ties, I don't think, Jed, that there's anybody arguably that has better ties to Sammy Brown in the nation right now than Glenn Schumann and how they get along and what they talk about Kirby Smart. You mentioned hunting and fishing and all that kind of stuff that they kind of go back and forth about and are just really, really close. I've heard some chatter behind the scenes of some recent momentum with Sammy Brown towards Georgia. Listen, Clemson's going to be in this thing all the way through the end. Oklahoma, of course, is trying to make a run. Other schools as well. But Jed, how do you feel about Sammy Brown at this point in Georgia?
Well, and I'll answer the last part of that question first. Georgia absolutely can get both DeMarcus Redick and Sammy Brown. There's no reason why not. It's looked like a Georgia and Clemson battle. Like you had the Big Ten schools and Notre Dame, you visited them. Oklahoma has tried to get involved, but it's been Georgia and Alabama, or Georgia and Clemson, excuse me, kind of through this whole thing. If you're Georgia, the pitch is simple, right? Look at all the linebackers we put in the NFL. Look at what we can do for you in your future. And if you're Clemson, your counter to that is, okay, you've got the three guys that Georgia signed in this past class. You've got Jamon Dumas Johnson could be back in 24, maybe if he comes back for a senior year. You've got Jalen Walker is a guy that plays inside some. There's a lot of depth there. It's going to be tough to see the field early, whereas Sammy Brown would – I'm not as familiar with their depth chart, but would probably go in and be an instant difference maker. So it's neck and neck. Like you said, Georgia's in a good spot that – I believe, from what I understand, Clemson kind of like has all their official visits happen at once, and it's the first weekend in June, so Sammy Brown won't be in Athens that weekend. I'm sure Georgia will get an official at some point in June, but it's going to be interesting. When I've spoken with him, he wants to be committed before his senior season, so. Georgia's going to get the second official visit, in this case, kind of away from the strategies using some of these other guys. So we'll see. It's going to be close. I think it's going to go down to the end when he commits, I think, because both schools are there. They're right there and have done such a great job building themselves up in this recruitment.
James C., I guess the second there. I don't know. He's going very royal or regal on us there. If we get Dylan Raiola, if Georgia gets Dylan Raiola, can Georgia still get Julian Juju Lewis? Is Alabama leading for Juju's commitment? The second question I can answer, absolutely not. Alabama, I would definitely not put them in lead for Julian Lewis. I think LSU is really strong with him. You got to spend time with Joe Burrow at their spring game this past weekend. I think Georgia very strong there, but Trent, I almost think that if Georgia gets Dylan Raiola, it makes it more likely that Georgia would get Julian Lewis, because I think it ultimately, if they get Dylan Raiola, I think it's going to end up thinning out that quarterback room a little bit. And I think there's going to be a class separation there with Raiola being 24, Lewis being 26, that would be attractive.
Yeah, that every other class thing of landing top guys, Georgia's going to go after the top guy at the position every single class, but the class separation I think does help in this case. Being able to come in for maybe 1 year, sit behind Raiola if all things worked out right, and then take over the job as a redshirt freshman or sophomore maybe. I think that's an attractive than going back to back, five star. I think that would be less attractive. But I don't think Landon Dillon or Iowa puts Georgia behind the eight ball. What did you?
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, one official visit and that we didn't talk a whole lot about, and one guy we didn't talk a whole lot about, a major oversight on our part on the offensive line, or maybe you did, and I was looking for NFL comps and things like that that I wasn't paying attention, Jed. Brandon Baker here, official visit. We mentioned Nate Frazier from Modern Day. Brandon Baker, his teammate at Modern Day, he's going to be out June 23rd through 25th, and that is huge. Obviously, you know, he's one of the top linemen in the class. Just moves so well, but he's also a guy that is close with Dylan Raiola, that they've kind of created a bond. And if Raiola were to become a member of this class, you'd have to think he'd try to work on the big fella from California.
That would be huge. We did not mention him. I was thinking about my next rankings meeting, I guess, and I just totally missed him. But yeah, there's a lot of guys that are kind of that could be going for those offensive line spots. And you wonder if Frazier ends up taking his official visit that same weekend as Baker, trying to get the teammates in town at the same time. But yeah, he's definitely got George going after too.
Absolutely. So we've covered a lot of ground here. If you haven't joined us from the beginning, Ryan Wingo was on for about the first 15 minutes with us, 5-star receiver from St. Louis, Missouri. He is right there at the tippy top of Georgia's board when it comes to wide receiver targets remaining. He mentioned, just kind of cliff notes here, he mentioned a desire to play with Jeremiah Smith, of course, to play with Dylan Raiola. So these are all things that Georgia's going to get a crack at these guys when it comes to official visits coming up. Wingo and Raiola and Smith could all potentially be in Athens on the same weekend, or at least that's the tentative plan in the first weekend in June. Guys, I know we're going to have a lot of content coming up here on the site. We always have interviews and vault posts and all that kind of stuff, but we greatly appreciate you joining us. Hit that like button. If you don't mind, if you like the content, hit that thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Coach Donnan will be live tomorrow with Roddy and Dane. I'll have on Thursday night, guys, we got to mention, you guys, I'm sure, will hop in for a little bit at different points and times. We're going to be doing a live watch-along show with the NFL draft. So, guys, 15 dogs drafted last year. Won't be quite as many this year, but who are some guys, if you just had to predict who's going to go in the first round on Thursday night, who are some guys that you think are going to hear their name called?
Yeah, Nolan to the Falcons. And then Broderick Jones probably.
Does Big Darnell make it, Trent?
I think that'll be the question mark. Both Darnell, Keeley are guys that are right there borderline first-round picks. Jalen Carter, of course. But I'm interested to see where Stetson falls. You kind of see that Baltimore connection right there. It'd be interesting to see if Baltimore pulls the trigger mid-round pick with Stetson.
Green Bay needs a quarterback now after today, Jed. Yeah. Traded Aaron Rodgers away.
And that's the thing, like, you look at it, not to turn this into a draft show, but, like, if you look at a team like Green Bay, who's unsettled, Tampa Bay, Minnesota with Kirk Cousins, who's getting older.
Tua's had about 15 concussions in Miami. Yeah,
the Patriots dynasty got started because the Patriots took a flyer on a guy in the sixth round. So, not to say that Stetson's going to be Tom Brady, but
why? There you go. You just heard it here on UGA Sports. Rumors versus Jed May. The headline headline is Stetson Bennett next Tom Brady. That was from Jed May. Let's put it in quotes. And get it spreading out. Get it going viral.
There's your thumbnail to tweet this out with.
Absolutely, guys. We appreciate it. It's been a great show. Ryan Wingo joined us as a guest. We've got talked about a lot of the official visits, answered a lot of vault questions. Appreciate you guys as always. We'll be back on Monday night. I'll be with TK and Noshawn on Thursday night as we do the NFL draft watch along. For Jed May and Trent Smallwood, I'm Blaine Gilmer, and we'll catch you guys next time.